Yeah. He's going. I got an hour to kill. It started to rain. I was going to service my car. And I couldn't do it. I hope that fan's not fucking annoying. It's pissing me off. Nah. Should be right. Let me know when people tune in. I'm sure people say, doing a random stream. Random Bible study, I thought. Stuff the world. I'm not wearing my hat. The rain keeps away the bad signal, so I don't need the alfoil. But yeah, I thought we would Dr. Dusty and the multiplication theory. Because you know that mad American bloke, I forget his name, who we had on Thirsty Thursday, and he was ranting, he was calling me Dr. Dusty. Don't go to this doctor. Nah. Anyway, so I thought we'll go through Dusty Bogan's multiplication theory. So we'll go through the creation story of Genesis. We'll try to reconcile that to science and to see if we can just like create a new model. Because that's what I'm all about. I just like creating a different theoretical doctrine where we could maybe reconcile some science, some philosophy, some religion all together. And just like, bang, see if we can like, because I feel like we're throwing the baby out with the bathwater. And some of these stories are like really powerful, but I think there's some good stuff in there that we might be missing. Dr. Dusty Shotgun Weddings, yeah. That's it. And we're streaming on DLive. Because I haven't streamed on DLive in ages, eh? Because I've been like chucking it up on Facebook. And then, you know, I don't know about Facebook. I think I'm just like, I'm not going to stream on Facebook, eh? I'd be like, stop this. And actually, I haven't been streaming on DLive, but I got a 10 new subs, so there you effing go. Brucey boy! Hey, fucking out. This is like technically some kind of Bible study, so maybe I shouldn't be trying to swear. But it's alright, I've got my two angels. Pauline. Malcolm, they always look over me. They're always watching over me, you know what I mean? Protectors of the Dusty, Big Red. Face you can trust. Them green eyes. You know what I mean? Yo, Bogan Slayer, how you going, mate? Sorry for kicking you out of my Telegram chat. But you're still here on my on the YouTube, so that's all good. Anyway, let's go through a bit of Bible study here. Please explain, Dusty. What are we explaining? We're going to go through the multiplication theory. This is my theory. No one told me about it, but I come up when I read Genesis creation story, and people are like, it's fucking stupid, and try to reconcile, like, the big problem that Christians have with evolution. It's like people are like, pretty much what it comes down to is they go, they're like, oh, death, you know, if you're an atheist or you're like, say you believe in the evolution theory and you look at it and you're like, yes, breeding or whatever, and they're handing down their genetics, but it's like the weak die off and the good genetics get passed on to the next one. So a lot of like, the pushback, if there's any pushback, probably from some Christians, if there's any pushback, the pushback is this. They don't want death to be the thing that causes life. You know what I mean? It's like, fuck. Death is the ultimate, is the victor. Death is what's is a producing power, which I believe that it's clear in the Genesis creation story. Once anything that's created that has life, it says be fruitful and multiply. So what is evolution? Isn't evolution just it's the power of multiplication. It's when we see the multiplication, the power of multiplication. And that's exactly what it says. In Genesis, it's clear. It just said, it's like, be fruitful, multiply, be fruitful, multiply, be fruitful, multiply. And what's fruitfulness? It's essentially, it's like breeding, handing down good genetics, and seeing the multiplication having a positive intergenerational effect. And you know what I mean? I think that's the beauty and the power of creation. So anyway, let's read the story. So we try to reconcile that, because you know, for me it's not a problem, but there's, you know, we're always contending. The thing is, we're always contending with the squeaky wheels of this world, aren't we? It's always the people who are like fucking crying about something. And I think like there's a reason why people complain, so you can't write them off. But it's like trying to reconcile that position, like whether we had bloody our Antifa dude on, Matt, the left wing dude, the crazy American dude on there, globalism versus evolution, yeah. Whether any one of us, or it could be old mate, that American dude on Thursday, every one of us have a position or something that we've, an idea that we have and we're concerned about, you know what I mean? That is, there's a certain amount of that's reasonable. There's a reasonable concern on all sides, you know what I mean? I wouldn't write it off. Left-wing, right-wing, atheist, fucking theist, whatever. Communist, national socialist, whatever. Libertarian, whatever the position is, there's something reasonable there. People concerned, but the thing is we get bogged down on it. We get so fucking extreme on that one thing that it becomes like a bit of a negative. So it's like, how do we reconcile that? And here we've got some Christians who go a bit nuts on the around the creation story, and they get a bit, it's like the pinning point where they get a bit nuts. So you want to try to reconcile that. Yeah, old mate, old American mate calling you Dr. Bogan is some funny shit. I know, that's why I thought I'd embrace that with this live. Guy, I can't even bloody read. I like stumble across me words. And even like someone tagged me in something and they're like, watch this bit, Dusty. And I'm like, re-watch my own fucking live stream from Thursday. And I was just like, God, I've talked some shit. Which is like, oh, it's always funny. I barely re-watch my own streams. Like, why would I? But anyway, let's try read through this Genesis story. And let's see if we can, like I was saying, I've just randomly thought, oh, let's do it. I haven't really over-planned for this, but let's read it. See if we can point some interesting stuff out. Bang. You can read along. NIV, they reckon it's not the best interpretation of the Bible. People always bang on about the New King James, but it's kind of good enough. NIV, this thing, it's like New International Version or some shit like that. It's supposed to be in common English, so it's easier to understand. But yeah, I've got my King James over there, and I've got my NIV bang right here. So whatever, I'll read along with this. So let's here we go. Let's have a crack. Genesis 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So my interpretation is that we probably got you have one statement. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and then then you're going into Genesis 1:2, right? Now, this is just like that statement, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. That's like creation from beginning to end. Bang, it's done. It's just a simple statement. And then you got Genesis 1:1-2. And then you're like, we're having a little bit of a closer look. And then you get a little bit of information. And then you got Genesis 2, which is like even more of a look. And then beyond that, you've got like, I believe the creation story continues. So it's kind of like, it's not three or four different ways to tell the same story. It's just like a little bit more insight, a little bit more insight, and different perspectives to see the same story, the same truth. Because it's just all about us wrapping our head around the truth of the matter, or the reality our reality, how do we interpret that? That's essentially like what it was written for. It's not a science book, you know what I mean? And that's where we can get into shit, even though I'm going to try reconcile a little bit of science. And that doesn't mean in like 1,000 years they'll be like, look at this fucking idiot, the science was completely wrong back then. And so you could be forever chasing your tail, and as the scientific theories, you know, I don't think that they're set in, they're definitely not set in concrete. They're gonna change, and as they discover new things, they're gonna change. So it's almost pointless trying to adapt that ancient story to science when it's not a scientific book. It's there for us to understand who we are, who God is, and how do we work our consciousness in this life in relation to each other, thinking about ourselves, and then, you know, is there a higher conceivable being? And it's all about relationship. It's all about understanding, getting that information, then how that information helps us relate to each other and probably do life well. That's what I reckon. Anyway, but let's go through it. Evening, everyone. How you going? There you go. We've got true love here. Everyone's getting on. That's good. Anyway, let's say now. Yeah, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. The darkness was over the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God hovered over the waters. And let me pop that scripture up for you. Bang. Now this is where there is a gap theory. I'm not, I don't know if I'm set in stone about the gap theory, but we will go through the gap theory. So, and we'll go through where right now some people believe that there is a gap. They believe in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, 1:1, and then they believe like there was a time where there was a creation, everything was perfect, and then there was a time where Satan fell, pretty much destroyed Earth, and then God had to recreate everything in Genesis 2. So that gives you like, and they could be like, when Satan fell, he fucked around on Earth, and that's where we have like dinosaurs and all these like crazy creatures and stuff. But who knows? I'm not saying that. I don't know. It's just people try to find a place to put when Satan fell. Anyway, yeah, so Genesis 1:2. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And this is like kind of gives you like a bit of evidence for like a Trinitarian God, because it's like God, we call Jesus is called the Logos, which means the Word of God. So you'll see how God, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. You'll see how he speaks, and God said. So Genesis 1:3, and God said. So that's kind of like, and then we see in Genesis 1:2, it says the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. So it gives us like a bit of an idea that God, there's God who's speaking his words, going out, doing something, and there's the Spirit. Kind of gives us an idea of maybe there is a Trinity, you know what I mean? And how do we understand it? This story is a spiritual story, and you know, God. So we're trying to wrap our heads around a interdimensional being from another realm, and we're trying to understand that through our five senses. So we're probably going to stuff that up. I don't know if I got it right. I think we're trying our best here, and one day when we like, you know, get to the other side of the curtain gets lifted, and we like, bang, we go into the afterlife, and then we go, oh, now I'm in the spirit realm or this other dimension. I'll be like, oh, it seems, yeah, I can understand it now. You know what I mean? That's why I don't reckon we should be writing off these Aboriginal stories and all these ancient stories, because it's like metaphorically, they're trying to. It's like transcendently trying to tell us something amazing and special. And we're kind of losing that a bit now in society. Yo, Dusty. Hey, brother. How you going? Anyway, let's keep going. Yeah, so it's important that when in the creation story, here's an important thing. God, like I always say, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That's like the Big Bang. It's like in the beginning, space. In the beginning is the beginning of time. In the beginning, God created the heavens, which is space, and the earth, which is matter. So there was a point in time where the space, time, and matter entered into existence. God's obviously outside of that. And that's like the Kalam cosmological argument we were talking about before. It's like everything that has a beginning has a cause. So whatever caused the Big Bang is outside of space, time, and matter. And obviously all powerful. Sounds pretty good. So how does he do it? God speaks. It says, and God said. That's all he's doing. It's like a CEO. It's like the boss of a, you know, I don't know. What CEO do we like? Stark. It's like Batman or Tony Stark. He's like the CEO. He's the authority, and all he has to do is speak. It's like the Caesar or the commanding. It's like when Jesus said, you know, the centurion. There's a story of like a Roman soldier who's like, oh, my kid's sick. Jesus, can you heal my child? And Jesus said, yeah, I can come with you and pray for your child. And the centurion said, no, you just have to speak it and it will be done because I understand authority. And Jesus said, he said something like, he's like, I haven't seen faith like this in all Israel or something like that. And it's just like understanding authority. We can see in Genesis here how God created everything. All he does is speak. So that's like an interesting thing when you think like, so if we use science and we look back at the how it's created, it's not like, you know, oh, great possibility. It's like this interdimensional alien somehow manifests into our reality and is like creating stuff, like with tools or machinery. It's not like that. That's not what the creation story is saying. All it says is God spoke and his authority said, and it began to happen. So I find that like interesting, because then if we look at it scientifically, that's actually what we have through the Big Bang theory and even the evolution story. It's like it appears to be natural because God's not doing anything other than speaking, and because he spoke and he has authority, it came into existence. This is just my thoughts around it, so not nailed down on it yet. Where are we going? Yeah, okay. Genesis 1:3, and God said, let there be lights, and there was light, and God saw the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness, and he called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and there was evening, there was morning, there was first day. So I'm not a 6-day creationist. I'm not saying this was a literal 6-day. If it was or it wasn't, whatever. I mean, the best science we have right now saying everything's like 13 billion years old, so whatever, that could be the case. Had a beginning point, anyway, we know that through science. So let's continue. Genesis 6, and God said, that let there be a vault between the waters to separate the waters, water from the water. And so God made the vault and separated the waters, water under the vault from the waters above, and it was so. God called the vault sky, and there was evening, there was morning, and the second day. So when I think about this story, I always think of like us, if we were to like terraform Mars, like a science fiction sci-fi movie, if I'm like, yo, we're gonna, you know, build a fucking moon, some fucking space station on the moon, and then we're gonna like mine resources on the moon, and we're going to create all this mad shit on it, and then we're going to try colonize the moon and then Mars. But we're like, we want to terraform Mars, we want to turn it into a planet. What's the first thing you do for us to live on? It seems like this Genesis creation story, it's like talking about the terraforming a planet. I find it quite interesting, and it's like somehow they create an ozone layer. There's like water, and then they create an ozone layer. So I find it like, sounds pretty cool. Sounds kind of like how you'd probably do it, how you'd probably go about it. How's my D level? Yo, We've got D-Lives happening. We've got a bit of action. Yo, we got some bloody lemons going on here. Thanks, Dan. No Lives Matter just followed me. I think, yeah, so is it Dan Snot just donated me an ice cream? Thanks, brother. Appreciate it. Yo. Remember to sub to Medela. Yeah, you're right. Could be wrong, but I think it was a Catholic priest that proposed the Big Bang Theory. Yeah, it was. You're correct. You're right. Because Eddie Bravo goes on about that, and he's like, yeah, man, they're not like... He has like a bit of a conspiracy theory about how the Catholic Church is not actually for Jesus. It's like some kind of anti-Christ church. And like, if you listen to Eddie Bravo's rant about it, that's pretty cool too. You're like, oh yeah. They paint the picture and we pull some fucking, tie some, get some, connect some dots, and Eddie has a bit of story time, and you're like, oh, I'm convinced. I'm not convinced, I don't know. I enjoy the Catholic Church. It's a bloody shame. It's like all this, the Catholic pedophile priest and Pell and all that stuff, and it's like, isn't it just a tragedy? And when it's like the highest conceivable being, and you're like, oh, this is a place we go to for like purity and forgiveness and restoration and help, and we go there sincerely, and then these bad things happen, you're like, fuck. And I'm not a Catholic, though. I've been going to, I go to the Catholic Church for Easter and Christmas, and not this year, but I didn't for Easter anyway. So I like actually appreciate the Catholic Church, and I think it's a bloody shame these what's happened with the pedophilia. It's terrible. Anyway, let's continue. So pray for them, and let's hope that bloody all institutions need to constantly. I got a book up there called Mission Drift, and it's like talking about keeping your church or your business or your NGO, your non-for-profit or whatever you're doing, like making sure it doesn't drift, make sure you don't drift off your mission, you know what I mean? And that's like where we need to constantly have like mechanisms to like stamp out corruption. How do you deal with people when they sin and they fall short of the standards and the vision, you know what I mean? Because like if you don't have that in place, it will just descend into corruption and chaos. So pray for the bloody Catholic Church to recover from that mission drift. And we can all, it can happen to every person, it can happen to every institution or organization. Anyway, let's continue. I'm fucking, I'm tangenting out. Try to smash this out. Yeah, so they're terraforming the planet. Verse 9, and God said, let the waters under the sky be gathered in one place, and let the dry ground appear, and it was so. Notice how it's, and God said, and God said, and God said, and God said. He's just the CEO. He's Tony Stark. He's Bruce Wayne. He's the CEO in the realm of heaven. He's just speaking it out, and it's happening. And it's probably happening in a way like, that could be like, I'd say it's like, in a way that when we look scientifically and we go, oh yeah, this is what it appears, how it happened, probably we're probably pretty close, I'd say. Anyway, and God said, let the waters under the sky be gathered in one place, and let the dry ground appear, and it was so. And God called the dry land and gathered the waters he called sea, and God said, saw that it was good. That's good. And then God said, bang, verse 11, let the land produce. This is another important thing. See how, and God said, he spoke, the authority like a CEO, and the land produced vegetation. So if we like looked through our modern scientific theory, they'd be like, oh yeah, this and this, and we try to explain that if we could like look harder and explain it more in depth, and probably have there's probably like a giant textbook just to explain that like one sentence, isn't there? And God said, let the land produce. So the land's producing it. The land's producing vegetation, seed-bearing plants, trees, with that bear fruit with seeds in it, and according to their various kinds. And it was so, and the land produced vegetation, plants bearing seeds according to their kinds, and trees bearing fruit with seeds in it according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good. So it is good. It's kind of good. This is a good way to like look at life and be like, yeah, it is good. A bit of gratitude there. I love it. And there was evening, there was morning, and that was the third day. And you can see the, you can see how, this is the thing, put it in our, the understanding. Oh, we're terraforming Mars. Yep, we're going to create an ozone layer. We're going to sort out the land and the water. And then we're going to get vegetation. And once all the plant and the vegetation and the ozone, the waters and the land sorted, then what happens? Then we get land creatures. Then we get humans at last. So the story, it like follows, pretty much follows the pattern, the modern scientific pattern. Verse 14. And God said, let the lights in the vault of the sky separate from the night, and let them serve as signs and marks of seasons and time and days and years, and let them be lights in the vault of the sky to give light on the earth. And it was so. And God made the two great lights, the greater light to govern the day and the lesser light to govern the night. And he also made the stars. God set them in the vault of the sky and gave light on earth to govern the day and the night and separate the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening and there was morning and the fourth day. So I think like this is like where we have a big God is delegating responsibility. Now the land's job is to produce. I love it. This is the theory of multiplication. See how God is just a multiplier? He's just bang, he speaks with authority and things start to multiply. Things start to produce. That's powerful. So we have Genesis 4. I read a theory how it's like the ancient. So Genesis, you have one day, 1, 2, 3, 4. And then people go, hang on a minute. Is God created the moon and the sun and the lights in the sky on the fourth day? How is that even possible? But like, as if that happened, you know, before vegetation happened. That's impossible. But then we can see, if we go back to Genesis 1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. So I believe that God did create the moon, the stars and the sun, everything on the first day. But it's like it says on verse 14, it says that he and God said, let the lights in the vault of the sky be separated from the day and the night, and let them serve as signs and marks and seasons and times for days and for years. So it's like, I would like to understand. I don't understand. I'd like to know, like, I wonder if there was like celestial stuff that had to be a certain way to, maybe to create the ozone layer, to create the separation of water and for the vegetation. Maybe there was like different gravitational things going on. Maybe the stars and the moon were like caused different gravitational or bloody radiation to change, to do the things that needed to be done on the earth to create, you know, the succession of what the hell happened. So I do believe that everything was, I think everything was created on the first day, and God is rearranging. He's rearranging and ordering things out. And when it comes to, I'm not talking about vegetation or animals and stuff, but I'm saying like the heavens and the earth were all created on the first day. And then we try to like reconcile that, because it is important if we want to try to reconcile like a modern scientific theory to this ancient story, which is like not a science textbook. And like to even if we're able to interpretate it in a way that is reconcile to science, then we could say, oh, it's evidence that it's divinely inspired, which is pretty cool, which I kind of like that idea, but it's not a scientific textbook. It's explaining things to us. It's like I'm saying, it's explaining to us about God's authority, ability to be able to speak and create, and that this ability to organize things, this ability to have things produce and multiply. And then it's a picture of, when we understand that, we go, oh sweet, I'm made in God's image. How am I speaking? What am I organizing? What's multiplying around my life? And there's, you know, there's other, the story goes, it's deeper than just the science textbook or a history book or a philosophical book, because it's a spiritual book. It's transcending. It's going, it's like a diamond with multiple, all these different cuts and stuff to make this beautiful picture, but every way you look at it, it's more, there's more beauty and there's more depth to it. You know what I mean? We're trying to paint a picture here, trying to reconcile some things. There's also an interesting theory that I read, how the ancient Sumerians and Babylonians, right? Because, you know, this book was kind of written to the people of the early Middle Eastern era, right? It was the way the ancient Sumerians used to count. They used to count with their fingers, right? And so when they would count one day, first day, second day, third day, they count the knuckles, fourth day. And so, like, apparently the first day and the fourth day, there's some symbolic connections between them, because this is like God was trying to speak to the people of the time as well, you know what I mean? So there should be symbolic connections between, so it'd be the first, second, third, fourth day. So the fourth and the first day, there's a divine connection. The second and the fourth day, the third and the sixth day, they all have a connection there, and it comes down to like the way they counted back then, and like that's the way they would write. That's the way they do it with their hands, anyway. And I only learned that, I was like, oh, that's, yeah, it's real interesting. I thought that's pretty cool. And I guess that's a way that we can reconcile the fourth day of creation with the first day of creation. It goes beyond just saying that in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, and you're like, yeah, he created, you know, all the heavenly bodies, the sun, the moon, the earth, stars. But then you're like, hang on a minute, on the fourth day he's like, he's making it, rearranging it, like he's saying here. He's delegating responsibility. Bang, that's a good one. There you go. That's the word I'm looking for. See if we can keep continuing here. Bang. Thanks for tuning in. How's D-Life going? Bang, we've got two people watching. Yo, donated 5 lemons. Cheers. FIL21. Used to be a rational kid. Thought I was clever, but now I know better. The Bible is true and science is gay. Oh, and thanks for the 5 lemons, bro. I guess it's like, see, I think that there's a way to reconcile the two, because, like, you know, we have this, even if we look at the creation story and you're like, yo, this is the way God did it, there's like a structured and intelligent way of how he's doing it. So there must be a way for us to scientifically test and measure and work it out and go back and be like, oh sweet, how was it done? How did he do it? Like, I think that that's rational and reasonable, that like there is trustworthy science out there, you know what I mean? Some of it these days, it's like they try hard. The problem with some science at the moment, it's like they try hard to get results, to prove results so they can get continued funding. So then we can be like, you're like, oh. And then you see like guys, some of these universities and stuff, they can't get funding or do research on design or intelligent design or anything, they'd be like, no. It's like the universities have got they're like closed-minded to the idea of creation or design. So that's a problem, but anyway, let's keep going. Can you even read this, buddy? Tell me, is the fan making? I can hear my fan. It's like wah, 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 in the background. I hope it's not affecting the sound too terribly. Yo, all right. I'm sure you have read this a thousand times anyway. The creation story. Where are we? What was up to? Say verse 20. Notice how it's in God said, and God said, and God said, and God said. That's how he did it. And God said, this is the terraforming of the planet. And God said, let the waters teem with living creatures and birds that fly above the earth, across the vault of the sky. So God created the great creatures of the sea and every living thing with which the waters teemed and that moved about in it according to their kinds, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God said, let saw that it was good. God blessed them and said, this is the thing, be fruitful and multiply and fill the waters in the sea, and let the birds increase on the earth. And there was evening and there was morning, and the fifth day. Where am I going? I'm just like, there we go, fifth day. So I think this is where we get to the first creation of like living creatures. Fan's not too loud. Okay, maybe I should turn it off. You can actually hear it. I'll turn it off. Boom. I'm back. I don't even really need these ears in anyway. But anyway, yeah, so when God actually creates, this is the first like living apart from plants. You can follow the, it's like the terraforming of the planet. This is how we'd do it if we had to do it, if we could do it, because it's like impossible. Obviously, they've like tried in a lab to create life out of nothing, you know what I mean? And I think they like, you know, they. It's like they're trying to recreate the first life, and they're like, it rained on the rocks for millions of years, and then the prebiotic soup came alive. It was a, you know, the earth, there was like some electrochemical reaction to create some kind of first life. I'm sure that includes vegetation or something, because I think, you know, it's alive in a way. Yeah, there we go. I thought it was Dr. Bogan's hydro setup that I heard. Yeah, nah, no weed for me. I don't like it. Makes me feel funny. Can't handle it. When I was a teenager, I smoked weed, but it's not for me. I prefer to have a beer. Yeah, God must have a sense of humor if he created Mersch and Royce. I know. Jeez, they go hard. Good on them, eh? Bogan Slayer, you gotta watch Revenge of the Sith. I reckon you'd like them. Here we go. Anyway, so they're terraforming the planet. This is the thing, when God created life, he said, be fruitful and multiply. And this is where I think, this is where that Darwin theory of evolution and the tree begins. At this point, life in the ocean, the prebiotic soup, you know how they're like, we're just a vile pond scum. Nothing. A cosmic accident. I don't believe that. But anyway, life, just like that story, life began in the oceans, and the soup became alive, and that's right. Good on them. Like, yeah, I think that seems to be the truth, isn't it? But they're from there, that's where the tree began, the tree of multiplication. And we call it's like they say it's evolution. I'd love to be like, it's not evolution, or evolution essentially to me just means it's the fruitfulness and multiplication. So instead of, and the Christians, we go, I don't like it, because it's saying that they're like death and the dying off of the bad genes, and only the strong survive, and it's like the nature's eugenics program that's, you know, using death and destruction to create a better version. But I think it's clear in the Bible that it says be fruitful and multiply. You know what I mean? And I think it's not the evolution theory, it's the multiplication, the power of the God who speaks, and the land produces, or the oceans produce this powerful multiplication, you know. So we're like, we're reconcile. I think we're tr what we're trying to do is reconcile. We're trying to reconcile the two, so we can be like, yeah. If I'm talking to someone, he's just like, God didn't do it. It rained on the rocks for billions of years, and the soup became alive. You know what I mean? You're like, yeah. I'm right there with you. Genesis, what is it? Genesis, verse 24, was it? Verse 20. I'm right there with you, mate. Bang, bang, bang. Anyway, so we're continuing on. Be fruitful and multiply. God bless them. I think it's a difference here when God actually says he blessed them, because they're like alive, verse 22. And God saw that it was good. God blessed them and said, so it's a blessing. And God said, be fruitful and increase in numbers. That's what the NIV says, but the King James says, be fruitful and multiply. I like the multiplier, the multiplication. And I think, like, this is where the biggest danger of mankind is when we stop multiplying and we stop having a spirit of multiplication, is when we get comes into chaos in our lives, you know what I mean? Here we go, Kevin. Western Christianity, we're still very connected to trees and Christmas trees. It's our own culture. Yeah, I reckon it's like, that's like symbolism. I'm always saying how Christianity, we use ritual and symbolism. So, like, for us, the Christmas tree is the evergreen tree. So, whether you're in, like, the Egyptians used the evergreen trees because it was like, when they would have drought and everything would be dead and freaking yellow and dying or nothing, and they would have these evergreen trees that represented life in the drought. And for the Europeans, because they would go through the winter time and everything would die off, but they would have the evergreen trees, which was like a sign of hope, you know what I mean? Of life. And that's where the Christians took, we pretty much took, like, Egyptian and European pagan symbolism, because we're like, oh, that's because we want to speak to the we want to speak to the Egyptians and speak to the Europeans and say, like, hey, help them understand, because these stories are all about understanding the message, you know what I mean? Brendan. I'm no scientist, but I've never understood how they suppose that we evolved from ocean life to land-dwelling creatures. Science, since most of the Earth is ocean, wouldn't it be more practical to evolve as like a land creature? I don't know. But I guess, like, the thing is here, like, even the Bible says that life did create. Oh yeah, so you continue there. Wouldn't it be more practical to evolve as ocean dwelling creatures rather than land dwelling ones? Yeah, I guess it's like, you know, even if I look at the creation story, anyway, if you look at the history of Charles Darwin and stuff, his dad was a part of a secret society fraternity that believed in, like, man becoming like God, and they already had the theory of evolution that was pre-science. It was like a bloody ancient fraternity or cult that already, like, had they already had essentially, like, the story of animals turning into man and then man turning into God. It's like a sort of like Freemasonry, how they go up in degrees and stuff. They're all part of these. Darwin's father was a part of the secret society. So even though maybe there was some truth in the science, I'm going on a tangent there. But yeah, if I look at the Genesis creation story, I just see, well, yeah, life did start in the oceans, that's what it's saying, and then land creatures, and then humans were last, and that was the with obviously the made in God's image, or the most high, the best design, or the we're made in God's image with the alpha animal. Well, not with a God's creation. Anyway, where are we going with this? Where am I at Genesis 24? Think I'm at. Bang. How's D live for a second? Yo! Shouting at clouds, just donated 2 lemons. Thanks, brother. Appreciate it. It's been a while since I've been on the D live. But I'm back because I streamed a few. After I did my banner, you know how we did the banner, COVID-19 made in China, which was all about raising a hopefully raising awareness that we should bring back some manufacturing jobs. And nothing wasn't a, it was just a play on words, a bit of fun, because everything's made in China, isn't it? So we thought we'd do that banner to, like, yeah, have a bit of a laugh and a bit of, you know, a bit of a, yeah, a bit of a stir the pot, but the message, COVID-19 made in China, was all about, let's bring manufacturing back. You know what I mean? Let's make some stuff ourselves. But yeah, what I'm saying is, when I did that, I got a few more subs to my Facebook. So I've been streaming the last few streams. I've been dual streaming on Facebook just so I can maybe connect a little bit more to my new Facebook people. And but at the end of the day, I'm like, I think I prefer a dual stream to D Live. You know what I mean? I love the D Live, even though I've only got two people viewing on my D Live right now. But that's because I think because I've been inconsistent with my D Live. You know what I mean? And you got to have the consistency there. Anyway, back to the freaking Dr. Dusty's multiplication theory. Genesis 24. Bang. So it's just like the terraforming of the planet. And I like the way that they do it. It's like bang, they separate they create the ozone, they sort out the waters, get all sorted out in the ozone, then vegetation, then it's life in the waters, and then bang, life getting produced on the land. Verse 24, and God said, let the land produce. Isn't it? It's kind of, there must be. So the waters, it says, let the water teem with living creatures. And God said, let the. He's just saying, he's given the authority and speaking to it. And he's like, bang. We can't even recreate life at the moment, like life in the lab. They've tried to do it. And they'll be like, look, we've made protein cells or whatever it is. But it's like, we're way off creating life in the lab. We are so far off from achieving it. Even, and I just think, like, it's a bloody miracle. How the hell? And I think, like, if we one day were able to create life, like actual living, you know, the most simple life out of nothing, or create life out of nothing, essentially, damn, we'd have to have, like, some amazing technology. It's like impossible. Well, obviously it's possible because it happened, and that's the thing. Even in Genesis here, we can see how God created the first living creatures out of the waters. And here we go, Genesis 24, and God said, let the land produce living creatures according to their kind, livestock and creatures that move along the ground, and wild animals, each according to its kind. And it was so, God made the wild animals according to their kinds, and livestock according to their kind, and all the creatures that move along the ground according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good. And God said it was good. And God, hang on. And God saw it was good. Bang, there you go. And then here we go. After we've created, he's created animals, the land creatures, Then God said, "Let us make mankind in our image and in the likeness, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds of the sky and over the livestock and all the wild animals and over all the creatures that move along the ground." And God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them. And God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in numbers," or "be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it." And I just reckon it's a powerful story. And this is where we like, we don't want to get trapped in the, we're just highly evolved pond scum. We're a cosmic accident. And then, we think, there's no objective moral truth. There's a we're, and then we go down the road of nihilism, and just like old mate on Thursday night, the atheist dude, he's like, "I'm a nationalist, I'm a libertarian, I'm a nihilist." He was going on how he was a nihilist. And I think, like, geez, if we look at this creation story, and it's like, yo, we're made in the image of God. And this is how the story has to relate. We have to relate back to the story and everything, how God creates, how he's speaking. He has the vision. It's like he must have had the vision and the plan, and then he speaks it out, and then he's organizing things, and it's he's causing fruitfulness and multiplication. And I think this is really speaking to mankind and how we do life. And it's like, yo, what's the vision? How are we speaking? Are we organizing and producing our lives to create fruitfulness and multiplication? You know what I mean? But and are we aware that we're made in God's image? We're not just a cosmic accident. We're not just a highly evolved pond scum. We're more than that. You know what I mean? And I think this is where we get to a you know, I mean, I think it's like people who are nihilists and atheists, and they come and they pick up Darwin's bloody Origin of Species, and they go, "See, I'm just highly evolved pond scum." And next minute they roll out social Darwinist eugenics programs, and they turn into Nazis, and they turn into communists, and they descend. Because they go, it become they be, their mind becomes poisoned, because there's the philosophical foundation. Then that's what this the philosophical foundation, the foundation of their life and their worldview, their view of themselves and others, it's not right, and it's producing what it produces in their life. Pretty much, it's death and destruction. And we can see in history, it's like the men who abolished slavery. When they abolished slavery, you know what I mean? They were like, "These people are made in God's image." We look at this story, and they're like, "Oh, we're made in the image of God." And they're enslaving them, and they go, and the Christians said, "This isn't right. These people are made in the image of God. This is not right." You know what I mean? And thank goodness people, the Christian about, you know, the pretty much the Christians rose up and peoples started using their brains, and they moved away from the whatever fucking crazy ideas. When see people, there was all in Europe, there was always like a class system. When we had the royal families and they had their bloodlines and they were superior, you know what I mean? And so when they Darwinism, and this is why slavery, you know, it was like justification of slavery and all these things, because they didn't believe everyone was made in God's image. They believed they were superior. These royal bloodlines, you know what I mean, and all this, and people thought they were of good stock, and all these ideas, you know what I mean. They're looking down at people, whatever, because of the color of their skin, and it's not just that, because the Europeans obviously look, they sent They sent convicts to Australia who were slaves. They sent Irish people to the Jamaica. There's Jamaican, there's the Black Irish in Jamaica. There's all that. But it all comes down, and I think that Darwin's sweet little book, his Origin of Species, once they got that in their hand, they were like, ha-ha, we were right. They used it to justify, or they already had bad ideas. You know what I mean? A slave owner or a fucking someone who thought they were better than other people, and they got that book and they, you know, it's a misinterpretation of the science. You know what I mean? That's what I'm saying. It's a misinterpretation. This is the theory of multiplication has to come back in. It's not the theory of evolution and the weak getting bred out and the strong prevailing. And I think it's like, no. That's not how we were created. We were created because there was the power of multiplying, the power of multiplication. If we can understand that, and we can understand we're made in God's image, put that in our heart and our mind, and guess what? We're not victims anymore. We're starting to see, oh, hey man, I can have a vision, I can speak it out, I can organize my life, I can start multiplying. I can take this story and I can change my ideas. I can change my view on this earth instead of being like, we're a cosmic accident and we're highly evolved pond scum. It's like, no. Wrong interpretation, bro, of the science. Black Irish. Kind of redundant. Yeah. I mean, you know, I don't think there was many Black Irish. I think they were the Black Irish. My Irish cousins were telling me about it when they came and worked with me for 2 years, because the Irish got sent as slaves and to the Americas and Jamaica and everything. But yeah, they just interbred with the because they were lower class too, you know what I mean? They weren't of royal good stock or good blood. They were nothing, the Irish, you know what I mean? They were second class, third class. They were beneath them, you know what I mean? So they were sent as slaves. So they interacted with the they were intermarried with the African slaves, you know what I mean? That's why now, if you go to, apparently in Jamaica, they have African Black Irish dudes who have, they have Irish ancestry and they can still speak Irish. It's pretty cool. Cool story, man. What's your opinion on Zionism? Probably won't talk about it on I think like Zionism is just like nationalism, isn't it? That we should all be looking out for our own people. I reckon the Jews, honestly, if the amount of shit they've been through, I would think they would be super paranoid. They'd be super overprotective. And they'd be looking out for their own interests, and they'd be like, "Yeah, we've been tried, had a fucking tough trot of it time and time again." So I can understand. People aren't forgiving. People like hold grudges and are like not gonna let go. So I'd say it's like completely reasonable for Jewish people in the nation of Israel to be like, "Yo, we're gonna try to protect our shit." And I would encourage everyone to do that. You know what I mean? I think that's like a good, I reckon it's good and godly. If, like we're saying here, if you're like, yo, I'm made in God's image. I'm made in God's image. You start speaking out a bit of a vision for your life. You start organizing it. Things start multiplying. We start to reenact this Genesis story in our lives. And that becomes when you start viewing yourself made in God's image, you start viewing other people, and you start the correct value structure starts getting in place in our lives. Now, the Jewish people should value their own nation. They should value their heritage, just like I do as an Anglo-Saxon Celtic ancestry. And I love my ancestry. I love my culture, my tradition. I love everything that my people have done. I'm so proud of it. And so should they be. So should the every nation and every tribe. Because we're all made in God's image. Isn't that powerful? Isn't that a better way to interpretate the facts? Because we're all looking at the same facts. We're all looking at the same facts. Now, how do we interpret it? Because someone could come on this channel who's extreme right or extreme left, and they'll be like, I read this book, and I could read that book. I could read Mein Kampf. I can read Darwin's bloody theory of evolution. I can read Karl Marx Communist Manifesto. I can read the Quran, the Bible, the Vedas. I can read all the religions and philosophies of the earth. I can read all the science. I can read it all. And how am I going to interpret that? What's that interpretation look like? Bogan Slayer. Dusty, can we suggest we have a moment's silence for the deceased and succumb to COVID-19? Pretty sure you'd be the first to do it on a live stream. Just the thought piece. Yeah, maybe we can like light a candle or something. Do some kind of ritual. No, I mean, no, I get you, brother. We definitely got to be praying for them people because they're made in God's image. I believe that there is, you know, I mean, I'll definitely say it. I believe that there's more to life. I do believe that Jesus is that God. Thank goodness. The guy who dies on the cross forgives the people who nailed them to it, forgives a criminal nailed to the cross next to him. I'm like, yeah, at least I got a chance. At least all the people who died dying of COVID-19, who maybe aren't Christians, but they would still have a chance. We've still got a chance with it if God is Jesus. Because he seems like he's, you know, he's got a heart for us. If you know what I'm talking about. Well, what's your opinion on ethno-nationalism then? Yeah, I don't really have a problem with ethno-nationalism, but I do have a problem with like people who have a superiority complex who are like, oh, I'm fucking better than you, or blah blah blah. Like, I don't believe in that. I don't think. I think when the royal families, the lizard people, are like, we need to interbreed with the other royals, and we're of good stock, and we're better than everyone else. You know what I mean? And they were, it was like feudalism, and the lords and the barons and the royals were ruling and reigning, and we were all slaves back then. Everyone was a slave unless you're in that position of power. And you know, they had this culture that was this, we're better, we're of higher stock, we're better than you. Now, I don't have a problem if there's countries like, I don't have a problem if Israel is wanting to be an ethno-nationalist state, or if Japan wants to be an ethno-nationalist state, or if Poland wants to be an ethno-nationalist state. I'm not really concerned about that because I think it's godly to look out for your own and to look out for yourself and your own family because you know what your skin color and it comes from your parents, doesn't it? And you're like, I love my parents and your aunties and uncles and your cousins and your family and this is your family. You're looking out for your family, your tribe, and you the best interest and you there's nothing wrong about that. But there is something wrong when you start to saying I hate someone. I don't hate anyone because of the skin color or, you know, any of that. I think that's where we, you know what I mean? But I think it's good and godly for every nation to look after their own interests and their own people. I believe in Western civilization. When we like finally started to end We started to end feudalism. We started to end the rule of reign of these royals who had the good stock. They literally, we are talking about Genesis creation story. We're talking of trying to reconcile the science and this ancient story and try to how we interpret the science. How am I interpreting the story? And what does that affect the way I see myself and others? This is real important. And when the Anglo-Saxon Celtic people who said, nah, these royal people, this royal family who's so much better than us, ruling and reigning, enslaving us, essentially enslaving us, and then they said, oh no, they got the Magna Carta and they said, no, there's a common law. There's a law above even the king or the queen and the barons and the lords, and if they break God's law, we're all made in God's image. They're not better than us. They're not better than the dude who's plowing the field. They're not better than the lady milking the cow, just getting by in life. They're not better. If the baron or the lord or the king or the queen is to murder or steal, they are guilty the same as all of us. And this goes into Genesis 2 when we go on to the creation story, because this gives us, they lay out, there's some philosophical foundations and ideas in the Genesis creation story, and then it opens up into morality and us our understanding of that too. It's all philosophical foundation, it's all important. And if you throw the baby out with the bathwater, it seems that people start to interpret the science in a real negative and dangerous way. And I think we do a fairly good job in we can always do a better job in Western countries, because we're not doing a good job by like having no borders, and that is retarded. That is idiotic. It's the most stupid thing. We should be helping every nation and every tribe. We should be helping them to have what we have. Every nation can have what we have. I believe, we've got the Magna Carta was a great foundation to move away from feudalism. We take from the Greeks and the Romans and we create the Westminster system, democracy. Now we created this system which is limiting the power of the, royal family, or the fucking, it's moving away from, it's allowing there to be accountability and direct democracy, you know what I mean? It's giving the people power, and it's reducing corruption. It's creating, which then creates, once you reduce that corruption, then you start having real positive trade. When you get land ownership, that was like a key part of the Magna Carta and all that. It's like land ownership. If you can own things, you can lend against it. You can get loans to own something. If there's a common law, if there's a system of justice, that's what we've created in the West. Now I think we can say, hey, and for the most part, it's happening now. It's like, yo, we've got this system we created. We fought like hell to fucking create it. You know what I mean? These ancestors of ours who fought like hell to create these systems and ideas that actually create a real, quite a productive, healthy, safe, fair society that limits the power of the crazy people who want to get in these positions of power and be authoritarian. It limits them, but we can have that. Our system could work. I believe it. Look, it worked. Look at North and South Korea. South Korea adopted a system similar to ours. And North Korea, shithole. South Korea, amazing. So the same ethno group of people, and we can see how adopting a Western style society has produced a quite an amazing society. We're seeing it in East and West Germany. You know what I mean? His hair looks nice. He looks like a dapper slave owner. Oh shit. There you go. Where is the hat? Oh no, I should chuck it on, eh? I hate pizza with olives, yeah, sweet. You ever do girls of other races? When I was a young kid, I dated a Fijian girl because she helped me pass the maths test. And then I went with the half Aboriginal bird because she helped me. You know what I mean? You sort of have to be a bit cunning to, if you want to be real lazy and get good grades, you palm it off, the work off to the girls. Nah. Went with some Filipino bird when I was young, but whatever. Nah, I got married. What is it? Been with my missus for since I was. How old? 20 years old, since I was 20 years old. So, there you go. Boom. How's my fucking D life going? Yo! Aussie Mozzie! Yo! Hosting me. Thanks, brother. Binary agenda just followed. Oh, thanks, dude. I'm up to 160! Yeah. FIL21, we are literally fish that started to walk on land. PhD. Well, I reckon we do more than that, and that's what we're going through here with the multiplication, Dr. Dusty and the multiplication theory. We're actually, yeah, we're more than that. Let's just read that comment in the D log. We're more than what FIL21 is saying. We're more than fish. Because if we're just fish that began to walk on the land, aren't we just highly evolved pond scum, actually? And that's what it's like. Either we're highly evolved pond scum. Yo, Lisa. Sorry, I didn't give you a shout out the other day when I was doing my live. When I'm like interviewing people and I got people on, I'm just like, I'm like losing it in the comment section for sure. You know what I mean? Yo, Lisa, thanks for posting up my link to my D Live. Too good. Small government, big titties, yeah. Nothing wrong with that. But yeah, it's sort of like, it's good. Like, we can all agree. Like, I think, like, even the libertarian and the small government people, we can all agree that, yeah, it's good to have efficient value for money. Government. I think like everyone should be able to see where do we get the best value for our money. We look back in civilization, it's like taxation and these elitists ruling over us. There's always been these elitists who are taxing people, isn't it? And it's like a form of slavery, isn't it? So we need to make sure at the moment we're getting taxation with representation, which is pretty good. But are we getting value for money? And now there's definitely room to improve in that, you know what I mean? Lisa. No worries. I was there to support you, dude. That was a great interview. Thanks heaps. Yeah, that dude was pretty interesting. How far do we go? We need to finish this Genesis story because I gotta hit the road. I gotta go see my mate. He just bought a nice beautiful house. Where are we? Where do we go? Genesis 28. And God blessed them. Okay, Genesis 27. God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, God created the male and female. So this is like the foundational philosophical idea. Are we made in God's image or are we just highly evolved pond scum? And now if we get that. Even you could be like, you know what, I look at you could be like, oh, I believe in the Big Bang and I believe in evolution, I believe in a multiverse. Well, do you know what you should be saying when the right way to interpret that is you say, geez, we're lucky. This is a miracle. It's a miracle that I can that I'm here with this intelligence, and it's like with this amazing, it's amazing, this body that we have. It's amazing. It should be, you don't have to sit there and go, I'm just highly evolved pond scum and there's, and be a nihilist. That's not, that is not good for you or our society. This is not good the way that we would perceive ourselves and others. So I just love that, Genesis 27. And God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful, increase in number, and fill the earth and subdue it. The King James Version says, be fruitful and multiply. And that's why we're talking about today. It's the Dr. Dusty and the multiplication theory. It's all about the multiplication. It's not death that rules and reigns. Like the evolution theory, people go like, it's death. It's not death. It's the evolution theory is the multiplication theory. That's how God spoke and it produced, bang, the terraforming of the planet, the Big Bang, the terraforming of the planet, and the creation of all living creatures and mankind. Yeah, the greatest thing about being alive is that we can experience the good and the bad. And if we weren't truly alive, if, you know, this is where we need to, I'll do another video on Genesis 2, which is the Garden of Eden, because that's where we get really, it's so important. It's so important that we get this. If we understand the interpretation of the science, and maybe we get the right interpretation of Genesis there, and we get the philosophical ideas right, we start viewing ourselves and others correctly, better. And then we have to move, we move into that Genesis 2 story of Adam and Eve, and we start to understand good and bad, and experiencing life and understanding good and bad, understanding who we are and our value and stuff. And it's just like, what, these stories are foundational to having a functional society and a functional life. I just need to continue. Where am I going? Bang, 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 bang. God said, I give you, hang on, be fruitful, increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it, rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground. God said, I give you every seed bearing plant on the face of the whole earth and every tree that bears fruit and seed in it, and they will be yours for food. And to all the beasts of the earth and all the birds of the sky and all the creatures that move along the ground, everything that has breath of life in it, I give every green plant and food. And it was so. And Bob Marley was like, amen. Nah. And God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. And there was evening and there was morning, and that was the sixth day. I reckon we're still on the sixth day right now. I also believe that. Because the seventh day, God rests and he's like, it's completed. I do believe we're still in the sixth day. I think Genesis 2 and the Bible and even the New Testament is still on the sixth day of creation. Technically, that's a personal opinion, theoretical doctrine. That's what I'm talking about. That's essentially what we're talking about. It's a theoretical doctrine, but it might be better. It might be a better way. Even if you were like, yo, I don't believe in your interpretation of Genesis, or I don't believe in Charles Darwin's bloody Origin of Species, be like, no, I believe in Dusty's multiplication theory. You ever seen it? It's a good one. That's what I believe. Starting our own bloody, yo, anyway, I gotta wrap it up, and I'll catch us tomorrow afternoon. It started I was gonna service my car. I've been doing a bit of work around the house. I was gonna service my car and it started pissing down rain, so I'm like, I might as well do a live. So I just pulled together this Dusty Bogart's multiplication theory. So I hope you bloody enjoyed it. Thanks to the Lemons D Live. Thanks, Lisa, for helping me out and posting that up, because you actually, by posting that up, I got a few more subs, two subs. Thanks heaps. Imaginary friend, Dr. Dusty. Yeah, mate. Old mate on Thursday night when he was come on, and he's like calling me Dr. Dusty. So it's like, I was like, yeah, I'm embracing that. Cool. Much love. Tell the Dusty Sheila I said hi. Cheers, Lisa. Thanks heaps. Gingers don't have a soul. Have you removed the poster behind you? Yeah. Yeah. She's, yeah. You love it, Bogan Slayer. Great live. Thanks, brother. Really entertaining. Cheers, bro. Alrighty. Thanks, DLive. Thanks, YouTube. Thanks for tuning in. Have a bloody good weekend. I'll catch you tomorrow afternoon. We've got Steve-O from Dapper Den's coming on tomorrow. It's going to be awesome. And probably Aussie Mozzie's going to tune in as well. All right. God bless you. Have a good one. You.